Today we are finishing a sermon series on your best life now. What are some of the things that you can do to live your best? We've talked about a lot of different things over the last 6 weeks, and today as we finish it up, we're going to move from last week we talked about learning to give or live to give, and today we're going to talk about something that I think is needed because I see it so often in churches where people come to church and it looks like, you know, they're not motivated to be here. It's just sometimes they come because, well, that's what we've always done. You know, it's Sunday morning, so we go to church. We don't always see smiles on our faces. People look like they just got up. maybe that's just me. I don't know. But we don't come to church with joy in our heart, an expectation of what God is going to do. And sometimes we don't even leave the church with that smile and that joy in our heart because of what we just experienced. Today we're going to finish the series by looking at the idea that we need to choose to be happy in the situations that we face in life. Learn to be happy. Some of us may be happy on the inside, but we don't show it on the outside. You know, we kind of act like the world's against us, or sometimes we just are so caught up with the struggles and the frustrations of whatever's going on in our lives that we don't show it. And let me tell you something, when you don't show it, you're not showing God. You're not showing the love of Christ. We are a new creation. And when we accepted Jesus as our Lord, we're no longer the person we used to be. So we take on this new persona. We take on new priorities and new attitudes because we have Jesus in our heart. And if you truly have Jesus in your heart today, it means that you are a different person. You've changed. You're no longer judgmental. You're no longer easily upset about other things. You learn to deal with the things in life and put it in perspective. I want to read from the book of Philippians, chapter 4, beginning in the 10th verse. So if you have your Bibles with you, if you want to turn to that, this is Paul writing to the church in Philippi. Now, the church in Philippi has, from time to time, helped Paul out, and they certainly welcomed him there when he came to Philippi. And one of the things that I think we all, as we have talked about Paul in the past, we've all studied Paul, is that one of the things that we have always admired about Paul is the thing that he was always content, right? How much time do you think Paul spent in prison in his ministry? Most of his ministry was spent in prison, right? Most of his time was spent being chased. He was even stoned at one time. Barely alive. But he was content. How can that be? How can he be content in the face of all of that? Well, let's begin in the 10th verse of chapter 4 of Philippians. It says, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. How many of us have an attitude like Paul? How many of us, when we are hungry, we don't complain about it? Or when we're thirsty and we can't find anything to drink, do we complain about it? How many of us when situations happen and we find that we need something, we complain because we can't get it. We complain maybe because our living conditions aren't exactly what we like them to be, or we complain because our job isn't what we thought it would be or what we wanted it to be. Or I think we live in a time where we complain about a lot of stuff. And maybe what we need to do is what this sermon title is we need to choose to be happy. Now, over the past 6 weeks, we've studied the steps to living your best life now, and certainly you may be tempted to think that your best life is still a long way off, but nothing can be farther from the truth. You can have your best life today, starting right now. So today we're going to choose to be happy. You don't have to wait for everything to be perfect. You don't have to wait for all your thoughts and ideas, goals to be reached. You don't have to wait until your family is straightened out, or you find that perfect job or that perfect relationship. You don't have to forego happiness until you lose that extra weight or break that unhealthy habit or whatever it may be. You can choose to be happy because God wants you to be happy right here, right now, right where you are. And the thing that we need to understand is that happiness is a choice. Write that down. It's a choice, and it's up to you. If you make the mistake of allowing the circumstances in your life to dictate your happiness, you are going to risk missing out on God's abundant life. You may be going through a tough time right now. You may have major obstacles in your path. There may be things going on in your life that just keeps you up at night. And you may have good reason to be unhappy. You may have good reason to be upset. But the idea is, and this is something that I've had to learn in my life, is being unhappy isn't changing your situation. Being upset and discouraged is not going to make your situation any better. God knows that you have difficulties, struggles, challenges. He didn't create you to be on cloud nine one moment and then in the dumps the next. He created you to live a consistent life. He wants you to enjoy every single day of your life. So maybe we need to quit worrying about everything that is going on and how it might turn out. Live one day at a time. Better yet, make the most of the moment that you have. It's good to have, I think, a big picture outlook, to set goals, to establish budgets, make plans. But if you're always living in the future, you're never really going to enjoy the present in the way God wants you to. When you focus too much on the future, you often get frustrated because you don't know what's coming. And naturally, the uncertainty increases your stress level and your sense of insecurity. So we need to understand this morning that God has given us the grace to live today. He has not given us anything for tomorrow yet. When tomorrow comes, He will give us the grace for tomorrow. He will give us what we need to get through the day. But if we worry about tomorrow, right now, again, we are going to be frustrated and discouraged. We must live one day at a time, because happiness is a decision you make, not so much an emotion you feel. You can choose to be happy. Even though stuff happens in your life, you can choose to be happy. And when you are happy, people are going to be drawn to it. When you are joyful, people are going to be drawn to that, because either they're going to think there's something seriously wrong with you. Or they're going to think, I want what that person has. And the more you show happiness and joy, the more they're going to want it. Because people are drawn to happy people, right? People are drawn to people that have a positive attitude. People are drawn to people that seem joyful. Because believe it or not, all of us here today want to be joyful. We want to be happy. And some of us, it's just harder for us to be happy. So we're going to talk about three things this morning. The first one is happiness is a choice. I've already mentioned that. In Proverbs 15, it says, a happy heart makes the face cheerful. The cheerful heart has a continued feast. And in the book of Job, we all know what happened to Job, right? We all know the stuff that went on with Job. In Job 8:21, it says, he will yet fill your mouth with laughter and your lips with rejoicing. Again, how can someone who has gone through so much say something like that? I mean, we think we have it bad. Job lost everything. He found himself sitting underneath a tree. He lost his kids, his land, his livestock, his home, everything. And here he was sitting underneath a tree. And not one of us here would have thought badly of him if he was bitter and angry. And yet, yes, he challenged God like any of us would. But he also believed and trusted that God was still in control. There's a few things that I want to share with you about sharing happiness as a choice. And that is, sometimes it's the little things in life that really get under our skin. It's the little things that tend to bug us the most. And if we allow those little things to bug us, pretty soon they're going to turn into big things. And it's going to cause a lot of problems in our relationships and a lot of problems with our decision making. If you don't learn how to deal properly with the little things, they will turn into a lot bigger things. I've learned that the hard way. God gives us His peace on the inside, but it's up to us to make use of that peace, especially in the pressure points of life. We have to learn how to tap into God's power, God's grace, God's peace, and God's mercy. The way you do that is by choosing to keep a good attitude. You choose to be happy. The Bible says in James, we are a mist, a vapor. We're here for a moment and then we're gone. Life is flying by. Life is just going by, I think it's a giant waste if we live our life in negativity. It's a waste of life to go around complaining and getting angry about things and saying things are not going the way we want it to go, so we lash out. Life is too short. Our time here is fleeting. And if we want to have an impact in the lives of the people in our own families and in our social circles, then we need to start being happy. The psalmist wrote, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. He said, tomorrow I'll be happy or next week I'll be happy. He didn't say that, did he? He said, this is the day. God created you for a purpose and for a reason. You are here today, not by accident. You are here today because God has brought you to this place. Whether you've been here every Sunday or you're new or whatever, God has brought you to this place. He's connected you with your family and with your friends and your coworkers. Granted, you may have some problems. Things in your life may not be perfect. Maybe you wish you look different, or you had more gifts or talents or more happiness. But this is what I want you to understand. I want you to say this God, I know you made me for a purpose. And whatever has happened in my life right now, it's part of your plan, and you have given me what I have to work with. I am not going to complain or be negative. I'm not going to go through life wishing things were different, wishing I was somebody else. I'm going to take what you have given me, and I'm going to make the most of it. I'm going to be happy with you who made me this way. I'm going to enjoy my life in spite of my shortcomings. The key here is that we need to bloom where we were planted. Because God put you here for a reason. It's not like He just kind of created you and then dropped you in a spot, say, good luck. He put you here for a reason. Keep a good attitude. Keep blossoming right where you are. Keep encouraging others. The second thing is we need to appreciate today. Remember what I read from Philippians 4:11. I have learned to be content, which to us would be satisfied to the point where we are not disturbed or disquieted. In whatever state I am content. Some people are convinced that life is simply a set of problems to be solved. You have one problem, you take care of it, here comes another one. And the problem is we can never successfully make it through these problems on our own because we're going to face another one the next day. And so we need to have an attitude of joy and appreciate who we are, where we are, and what God is doing in our lives. Because there's always going to be mountains to climb. And the one thing that I've learned, it's not so much the destination that's important, it's the journey to that destination. It's what you learn through it. In this world, we will never arrive at a place where everything is perfect or we'll have no more challenges. And as admirable as it is to set goals and to try to reach them, if we focus on accomplishing goals that are farther down the line, we are missing out on the joy that is today. I've even heard some people say, well, as soon as my children get older, I will be happy. And then a few years down the road from that, they say, well, as soon as my children graduate and move out of the house, then I'll be happy and I'll be able to enjoy life. And meanwhile, your life passes you by. We need to learn to enjoy life we have right now. Not waiting until something happens farther down the road. Maybe you've allowed yourself to slip into the habit of waiting for everything to be calm or serene and settled before you lighten up and grant yourself permission to enjoy life. Maybe you're waiting for the problems in your life to be solved. Why not be happy today? Don't go many years down the road and then realize when it's tragically too late, that one event or achievement or even a series of them does not bring me happiness. Appreciate today, enjoy the journey, and smile. And smile. Be content where you are. And when I say be content, I don't mean that you should sit back and accept life's problems or troubles. It doesn't mean you should live life like a wandering generality, unmotivated and undisciplined. It doesn't mean that you lack passion or drive or a desire to change for the better. Being content simply means that you trust God and that you don't get frustrated when things don't go your way. Because things don't always go your way. You don't allow circumstances to steal your joy. God has you where you are for a reason. You may not understand it, but He may be trying to work with you. He may be trying to teach you something or push you along or stretch you. And maybe you are there because God wants you to help someone else. You never know. The second thing is we need to be a person of excellence, a person of integrity. In Proverbs chapter 20, verse 24, it says, "Since the Lord is directing our steps, why try to understand everything that happens along the way?" For many of us, I think mediocrity is the norm. And we figure this is as good as it's going to get, that if we just live a life where we have, you know, we're relatively comfortable, we don't have to work very hard, we're just getting by and it's fine, we're paying our bills, we're taking care of our family. But God did not create us to be mediocre. He did not create us to be average. He doesn't want us to just barely get by or do what everyone else is doing. He called us to be a cut above everyone else, to live a life of excellence and integrity. That means that we go the extra mile. That means we take the necessary steps to do what is right, even though things around us are difficult. We put our trust and faith in Him to do the right thing. And when you have an excellent spirit, it shows in your quality of work. It shows in your attitude toward yourself and others. Because this is an important thing, people. People are watching you. Believe it or not. People are watching how you respond to things. People are listening to the words you use. God is watching how you relate to people in love and compassion. God wants you to be people of integrity, people of honor, people that are trustworthy. Every day your integrity is tested. Every day your faith is tested. And we must be able to stand strong with our heads held high and commit to excellence. Because when you make a commitment to excellence and integrity, God will reward you. When you commit to doing the right thing, you are sowing seeds for God's blessings. And I know it's tough. It's tough sometimes to do the right thing. Because we have a tendency of just kind of going along with society and going along with what they want us to do. And sometimes the boldness and the courage is when we do the right thing. We do it for the right reasons. Because people are watching us. And they want to know, are we truly who we say we are? Or are we secret agents? Who are we? People are watching us. And the only way that this church is going to grow with people, the only way this church is going to have success down the line in rebirth, it's not because of me preaching wonderful sermons. It's not going to be because of programs. It's not going to be because we have great music or that we have a closed closet or two or that we have picnics out front. The church is going to grow when the people in the church commit to integrity and excellence. And when they leave this place, they take Christ with them. You are the ministers of this church. You are the ones who will grow this church. You are the ones that are going to make a difference far more than I ever could. The third and final thing is that we need to live with enthusiasm. How many of us are enthusiastic? Let's just show of hands. Just enthusiastic. Four of you, five of you, six of you. I think the rest of you need to work on that. Maybe the question I should have asked, what are you enthusiastic about, Frank? Philadelphia? The Eagles? Yeah? We need to work on that, Frank. The interesting thing, what I've been reading on the sports page, is everyone is enthusiastic about what team right now? Anyone know? The Chicago Cubs. That's all I've been hearing about. Today, this is the year they are going to break the curse. That's what people are enthusiastic about? Are you enthusiastic to be here this morning? Are you enthusiastic to wait until I'm done so you can go have lunch? Yeah, at least one person's, you know. I'm wrapping it up, don't worry about it. Lunch is still. But we need to live with enthusiasm. We need to get excited about what's going on in our life. Even though the stuff is out of control, we need to be enthusiastic because there's people out there that are in far worse shape than us. And there are people out there that are facing a lot more struggles than we are. Some of the people in my life that have had so much struggle in their life, they've been so more enthusiastic about life than I have, I couldn't even believe it. I felt ashamed to sit there with them because I couldn't experience that same enthusiasm that they were experiencing, and yet they were nearing the end of their life. People, don't wait until you're at the end of your life to be enthusiastic. Living your best life now is living your life with enthusiasm and being excited about the life that God has given you. Don't be negative. It's just draining you. Don't get upset because things don't go the way you want them to go. It's not worth it. Because maybe there's a reason why it's not going the way you want it to go. It is believing for more good things in the days ahead, but also living in the moment and enjoying it to the hilt. Get excited about the day. Because other people will notice. Friends, if you want to see God's favor, do everything with your whole heart. Do it with passion. Do it with fire. Live your life to make an impact in the lives of others. Put yourself aside for a moment. Live your life to change the hearts and minds of others. Raise your level of expectancy. When you wake up tomorrow morning, get excited. First and foremost, you're alive. That should count for something. Be grateful that you have a family. Be grateful that you have friends. Be grateful that you have a place, something to do. Be grateful that you've had a life that's had an impact, because it is our faith that activates the power of God. So let's stop limiting God with our small-minded thinking and start believing in Him for bigger and better things. Remember, if you obey God, you are, and you're willing to trust Him, then you will have the best this life has to offer and more. Make a decision today. Before you do anything else, before you leave here today, put a smile on your face and joy in your heart, and get excited about what's happening in your life. Don't live in the glums, right? Turn that smile upside down, or that frown upside down. Don't turn your smile upside down, because then you'd be frowning. So turn your frown upside down. And when someone cuts in front of you, just smile and go, God bless them. When someone says something about you, just smile and say, well, that's your opinion. You're entitled to it. And when things don't go the way you want them to go, just say, praise the Lord, He's got a better plan for me. Make your decision from this day forward that you're going to be excited about the life God has given you. Enlarge your vision. Develop a healthy self-image. Discover that there is power in your thoughts and your words. Let go of the past. Stand strong when it comes to opposition and adversity. Learn to give. Live to give. Get excited about giving. And learn to be happy. As we finish, I want to try something. And it may be difficult for some of you, but your face is not going to crack. Nothing's going to happen to you. Okay? Everything's going to be fine. But I want to see everyone give me a smile. Just give me a smile. Let me see the teeth. Come on. There you go. Some of you look like you're in pain, but that's okay. See, it's not that bad. You can do that, right? You don't have to be negative. People don't want to be around negative people. People don't want to be around people that are always pessimistic. The old Saturday Night Live skit, Debbie Downer. No one wants to be a Debbie Downer. You know. Let's smile. Let's enjoy life. Let's get excited again about where God has us. Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, as we close this time, I just want to pray that we can come to realize that our life is pretty good. Things are pretty good. Even if we're going through a rough time, there's something that is still so wonderful about the life we have. And so, Lord, I prayed for each one of us that we can grab a hold of that and not let go, that we can begin to focus on the positives and not the negatives, that, Lord, we can smile more and laugh more and just appreciate who we are with you. And I thank you for each one here today. I thank you that they were willing to smile. And I hope that they don't just turn the smile off now, but that they practice at home. Look in the mirror and smile and see it's not so difficult. We want other people to see. We want other people to be impacted by our smile and our love. We can choose to be happy today. Let's do that together. In your name we pray. Amen. We're going to take our offering real quick and then come.